I believe all of us could agree and say, man, yes, it's perilous. It's perilous, it's dangerous times in which we're living. Then he goes on to lay out some things, you and I are not to be looking for signs. We get that. We're to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you think about the signs of the times. The Bible talks about the characteristics of the last days. And he lays out some things here. And listen, this was prevalent in Paul's day. This was prevalent in 1500. This was prevalent in 1800. It was prevalent in the 1970s, the 80s, the 90s, and the year 2000, 2010, 2020, 2023 that we're at today. All of these things have been, the one thing that stays the same with history is it stays the same. It repeats itself over and over again. The Bible said in verse number 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now I wonder if there's ever been a generation where there weren't men that were lovers of their own selves. Now really, can you answer that question? Is there ever a time where we wasn't in a generation that men were lovers of their own selves? Covetous. Wanting what somebody else has got. Desiring to have what somebody else has. That's one of the commandments that the Lord laid out. Thou shalt not covet. Boasters. Boasting. There's always been boasters around. You may hear a little more about it now because of social media and all the avenues and different things, but there's always been boasters, but certainly there's boasters today. The Bible said proud. That sort of goes right along with boasters. The proud individuals, of course, Proverbs 16:18 still said, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But then it said blasphemers. Blasphemers. Did you know, and if I had continued on there in the book of Revelation, where there'll come a time when they blaspheme God. Numerous times there you'll find that in the book of the Revelation. There's actually a blasphemy day here in the United States of America in September. There's a lot of things I could say about that. The religious satire that they would lay out, and there'll be pictures of shirts. People be wearing these shirts and they'll have a picture of Jesus, and somebody will say, well, I'm having my nails done today. And what they do, they poke fun and they blaspheme the name of God. That goes on here. And then, man, I'd be scared to death to do that. And I tell you, folks just don't, they don't seem to care. Blasphemers, the Bible said, disobedient to parents. Now again, every generation has dealt with that, but it seems like it's a little worse today than it's ever been. Maybe it's magnified because we see the news outlets and the social media channels and these personalities that are influencing kids, and maybe parents don't want to, they say, well, man, I don't want to discipline my child. I'm telling you, if you do not discipline your child, you mark what this preacher says, that little sweet baby will turn into a monster. God lays out in His Word, discipline. Spare the rod, spoil the child. God gives something on the back end, which is a cushion. Whoop that hind end. Amen. There's something about correction. But the Bible said there'll be a time disobedient to parents, but watch this, unthankful. Well, preacher, I wouldn't ever be disobedient to my parent. Preacher, I wouldn't ever boast. Preacher, I wouldn't ever be proud. Preacher, I wouldn't ever covet, which most of us probably, all of us probably fail in every one of these areas. I'd never blaspheme. I'd never be lovers of my own self. But how many of us are unthankful? Now, we could go on to say a lot of other things, but just get that. He said that'd be a picture of the last days, be unthankful, folks. This scripture here, probably none of you have, it's not going to be like, wow, I've never seen that. But in Luke chapter 17, this is what the Lord put on my heart right over there just a second ago. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible said, and it came to pass, as he, that being Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Here were 10 men that were isolated. They were exiled because of this thing called leprosy, which is a picture and a type in our Bible of sin. Here were men that were unclean. They were vacated from their home, from the house of God, a place of worship. They had to wear a mask around their lip, really, and when they seen somebody getting too close, they had to holler out, unclean, unclean. Imagine the type of lifestyle that they've been living, 10 of them. There they are, sick with the leprosy, which stood afar off. Verse 13 said of Luke 17, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, boy, they went to the one that could meet that need, and that's what we need to do as well. The one that sometimes we need grace, sometimes we need mercy, sometimes we need love, sometimes we need compassion. Thank God our Savior's got it all. Here was these 10 men, and they said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Now remember, grace is God gives us what we don't deserve, but God's mercy, He gives us what we do. He don't give us what we do deserve. And boy, that's mercy. And they cry out for this mercy. Look at verse 14 of Luke 17. When he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So here's the picture. You got 10 men, Brother Harold, that are sick, that have been isolated from their family, from their house of worship, from society. They have been an outcast or standing afar off. But they cry out unto the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy. Jesus heard and he answered their cry. They were healed. According to the word of God, they were cleansed. Look at verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Of course, other passages let us know that the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealings one with the other. Of course, Jesus being a Jew, and here this Samaritan, he falls down on his face, giving the Lord Jesus Christ thanks. Why? Because he had received that mercy that he asked for, and he was thankful. Brother Andy, he appreciated that he's no longer sick. He appreciates that he's no longer an outcast. He appreciates he's no longer isolated. He don't have to cry, unclean, unclean. Thank God, because of that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, he became clean. He became righteous, if you will, not by his own efforts, but through that relationship with the Lord Jesus due to him calling on the name of the Lord. His life's been changed. He turns around and he gives the Lord thanks. You say, man, that's wonderful. That's right. Should have did that. Well, look at verse 17. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? What a question that Jesus said. Jesus knew the answer to that. Jesus knew there were 10. Jesus knew one turned back and fell down at Jesus' feet and thanked him. But 9 went away. They were cleansed just like this man. But they were unthankful, unappreciative of what the Lord had done for them. Verse 18 said, there are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. He said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This one man, 10%, 10%. Because there's only 1 out of 10 turned back and said, Lord, just want to say thank you. Now, we can criticize that fella, and we can criticize the 9, but I guarantee if you got any age, and all of us do, most of us here got enough age, all of us have been in that camp, all of us have been in that boat where we get that old unthankful spirit. Amen. It can happen to anybody, anywhere, at any time. And things don't have to just pile up. Sometimes it's just things happen. Maybe the morning starts off rough. Maybe the week starts off rough. Certain things can happen. Sometimes things don't even have to happen. And you'll get that unthankful spirit. But I promise you this. We sing that song sometimes, count your many blessings. You start counting your blessings, and you'll leave some of them out, by the way. All that the Lord has done for us. Now, the Bible said in the last days there's going to be a generation that's going to be proud. They're going to be boasters. They're going to be unholy. They're going to be unthankful. But listen, let's don't be in that crowd. I know we're going to be there at some point or the other. I don't know what your need is today. Above all, if you're here tonight or you're listening by way of the Facebook and live stream, this is not where we were going. Again, we were going to 1 Chronicles 12, but the Lord had a different plan, a different purpose. And listen, he was in the house earlier. Thank God. It's good. You know, you can recognize when he's in the house. That's why I say, man, I said the other day, man, I'd put our choir up against anybody. I would. But we were short in number, but the main one was in the choir tonight. And that makes all the difference in the world. Things you can't manufacture. Things you can't pump up and prime. And listen, sometimes the Lord just chooses to show up. I'm glad God will just show up, Brother Harold, on a Wednesday night. Or a Sunday night or a Sunday morning. Sometimes in Sunday school. It may have just been for me, but God reminded me that this preacher needs to be more thankful than he is. Because he sure give me grace. He sure give me mercy. He give me love. When I asked for help, he was there. And when I still asked for help, guess what? He still shows up. In spite of me. Boy, that ought to bless the fire out of it. In spite of me. In spite of you, God still shows up. And still blesses. And still just ministers to our heart. He's still the best thing that's ever happened to me. And if you're not saved, boy, tonight would be a good night to get saved. If you are saved, he's still the best thing that ever happened to you. Let this song minister to your heart tonight. This will be our invitation time. But tell you what, let's just stand. Now, if you're unable to stand, you just remain seated where you are. God's been good to you. Maybe it'd be a good time just to come and say, Lord, I don't really want to ask for nothing. Just want to tell you I love you. Just want to tell you I thank you for being so good to me. Boy, it'd be a good time.
You've been my life for so long. You were right when I was wrong. I can't repay all the love you've given me. You were my friend when no one cared. I was alone, but you were there. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life. Make it what you'd have it be. For I'm your child. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Borrow treasures, borrow dreams, all life's joys you've given me. When troubles come, you're always there to make me smile. So come what may, thy will be done. I love you, Jesus, God's precious Son. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. When I was sinking in despair, I cried for your help, and you were there. You saved my soul, changed my life, and set me free. Now when I stumble and almost fall, you always answer when I call. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. For every time that I have failed, each time I stumbled and sin prevailed, you picked me up and set my feet on solid ground. And why you love me, I sure don't know, but I'll keep on singing as I go. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I owe it all to you, Lord. All I have is yours, Lord. Take my life. Make me what you'd have me be. For I I'm your child and you're the father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Maybe somebody didn't mind the Lord a while ago need to do that now. I don't want to hear no sob story about your cat getting run over, nothing about that. But the Lord's been good to you. I don't hear it.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. So grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, You simply have to ask Him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked Him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.